Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
First of all, good evening. It's 5:30. This is Update for Wednesday, 28th of September 2022 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news from the Isle of Man. Background to that news. Sport and business and Sea-Watch and travel updates. The newsmakers in person tonight. The meat plant needs public money to survive. The drugs criminals targeting our children. The charity night shelter may continue under other charities. Manx Labour Party supports the teachers' industrial action. And so what is going on with the water in Peel Bay?
Man Benham for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, the update news headlines. Fastamai, Rob Pritchard.
Fastamai. A 70-year-old man has been flown to the UK for medical treatment after a serious road traffic collision in Ramsey. It happened on Lazare Road at the junction of Gardner's Lane at 2:50pm. Police have confirmed to Manx Radio the man was a pedestrian and was struck by a vehicle. The island's meat plant needs investment from the taxpayer if it's to survive, according to a former farmer and auctioneer. It's as Tim Wall prepares to discuss a report recommending Treasury takes over the running of it from the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture. It also recommends completely reforming its structure, management and governance. Magistrates have agreed to adjourn a health and safety case against the Department of Infrastructure until November. Sentencing was due to take place at Douglas Courthouse today, but will now be held on the 3rd of November. The DOI had previously admitted two offences of failing to discharge duty between the 12th of April 2017 and the 17th of July 2021 on the Manx Electric Railway. In international news, the scale of Britain's financial turmoil has become clearer, with reports that pension funds would have collapsed today without intervention. The Bank of England's launched an emergency programme of buying bonds, which are effectively loans the UK government uses to borrow money. At least 2.5 million people have been ordered to evacuate from parts of Florida ahead of the arrival of Hurricane Ian. It's feared a storm surge, which could reach 18 feet, will strike the heavily populated Gulf Coast. And finally, Morrisons has seen its core earnings halve in its third quarter. The supermarket says sales fell against the backdrop of the cost of living crisis. Those are your headlines. News in full at 6 o'clock.
Man Benham. Contact us by phone, video call, email or face-to-face. We're happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Garabaya, thank you, Rob. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, there is a strong wind warning in operation for the North Irish Sea. State of sea is slight or moderate. And the three-day weather forecast for this evening, mainly dry, the possibility of showers on a fresh to strong north-northwesterly. After dark and down to 9 degrees for tomorrow, Jerdain, Thursday, dry and sunny. In a moderate to fresh north-northeasterly, falling light to moderate. High temperatures 17 degrees, so a very pleasant day tomorrow. Overnight minimum 11 into Friday. Jehenia, wet and windy. Oh dear, wet and windy with a strong to gale force south-southwesterly and persistent and heavy rain. That'll clear to showers late afternoon as the wind turns west or southwesterly and eases up to 16 degrees. Sunset tonight, 7:03. Low waters at 8 o'clock. High tide, 5 to 2 a.m. Sunrise, 7:17 tomorrow morning. Low water is at 8:15. And 7 weeks next Monday, Monday, November 21st, the FIFA World Cup starts in Qatar.
If you have failed glazing units, speak to the team at Manx Glass and Glazing. Call 674-573.
The Isle of Man meat plant needs investment from the taxpayer if it's to survive, according to a former farmer and auctioneer. It's as Tim Wall prepares to discuss a report recommending Treasury takes over the running of the meat plant from the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture, as well as completing reforming how it's run. Keith Carouche has been speaking to Amy Griffiths.
The fact is, if we prefer to see animals processed here in the Isle of Man to avoid total shipment, there has to be support from the taxpayer. The debate is whether the plant should be overseen by DEFA or Treasury.
There's a report that's being presented to Tim Wald in November and actually makes that recommendation. What do you think of that personally from your experience?
I think the danger is that Treasury will shoot it down in flames in a matter of weeks and say we can't afford to run it. So all livestock must move live on boats out of the Isle of Man. And that's the end of the Manx plant, unless Treasury are willing to address the fact that it's a non-economic, very small plant, beleaguered by the retailers dumping in the Isle of Man.
What would be the detriment of it closing down completely?
There's a shipping cost of about £15 a sheep and about anything £150 plus on cattle. So it would hit the farmer's pocket, and the public at large, I think, are concerned about the welfare of animals, and it would mean 6,000 cattle a year being on the boat and a large number of lambs, and the freight cost at about £4,000 a truck. So it just would mean a lesser figure for the Isle of Man, and the retailers would probably import even more than they do now.
Is there a solution to this?
The whole issue sits in with the retailers, really, and the government are nervous about trying to stop this import of meat because we want to export meat. So we're on hiding to nothing to say keep them out altogether. But it would be desirable if the whole lot, Tesco, Marks, everything, if they just did not import meat in the Isle of Man.
Talks are underway with charities on the Isle of Man to ensure a night shelter is provided for the homeless. Gry, the charity, announced earlier this week it was closing its facility at the end of the month. Infrastructure Minister Chris Thomas, MHK, says the Housing Board's already working to put a more permanent provision in place.
We know we can do something. We had previously in the Housing Communities Board pledged money to keep an emergency shelter with Gry until April 2023, because we knew that Gry were pulling out of this market at that time because it's a difficult task to take on. So we're putting in place something permanent, which is supported living, housing first, those sorts of concepts. Next year, now we'll work with other charities to fill up the emergency shelter aspect of this, which Gry have been providing.
Because we're moving to winter, and it's the time when people who are homeless desperately need a roof over their head or somewhere to shelter.
So, you know, the public will know that we've been providing some money to Gry for a number of years, and we'll provide that money to somebody else to provide the facility.
You have someone you're talking to, I understand.
The officers are talking with various third sector organisations, and also in terms of housing matters and giving people advice. You know, I don't think this is completely widely known, but for 10 years or so, government's provided money to Housing Matters charity to provide that sorts of service. It's a very important aspect of our housing crisis. Everybody matters.
It takes some strain off government.
Yeah, the five or six people who might need it in November and December and January will be looked after. Gry has always worked really, really well with mental health, with addiction services, with social services, with the constabulary, and that will continue. And there are a group of officers and a group of third sector organisations who will fix this. Gry have behaved wonderfully, providing the service and then acting properly during the transition. They'll take it on until the 30th of September. Something will be fixed then for the emergency shelter this winter. And then in the spring, by the spring, we'll have a more complete housing first, homelessness, supported living type arrangement as laid out in the Housing Communities Board Action Plan.
The Isle of Man in 30 minutes. Update on Manx Radio with Andy Wint.
Faster Mai, good evening. Thanks for dropping by. It's 22 minutes before 6. Ben McCree is just entering the bay at the moment. We'll be on the link span in 15 minutes or so. Children as young as 12 are being used to bring drugs to the Isle of Man, while more than 40 young people are being exploited for criminal activity, according to new figures. The Vulnerable Adolescent Strategy has now been launched to work with those who may be targeted for criminal or sexual exploitation. Leslie Walker is from the Safeguarding Board Isle of Man.
It's such a breakthrough in terms of a new way of working for the Isle of Man. There was an operation undertaken by the police, Operation Yarrow, that we heard about. They particularly targeted this area of exploitation and identified 43 young people who were at significant risk of exploitation. I think that was a surprising figure to a lot of people in terms of just how many young people are being targeted by criminal gangs. We also heard that currently we have 9 young people who are identified at high risk of exploitation, and each of them has a plan in place to try and protect them, to disrupt perpetrators, as I said, and to really try and keep those children safe. Previously, there wasn't a real focus on perpetrators. Lots of focus was on the young people themselves, and all of those areas have done a lot of work, as we have here in the Isle of Man, to make sure that the focus is absolutely about disruption. And we heard some really good stories where that has worked successfully, and there have been criminal conviction of offenders who have been bringing drugs, using children as young as 12 to bring drugs onto the island, and made a real difference, I think, in terms of locking up individuals that are really focused on targeting young people. We've identified that there are a lot of risks, so we call them adverse childhood experiences, that can make children more vulnerable to this sort of abuse. Things like bereavement in their families, family breakdown, that makes those young people sometimes more sad, isolated, and therefore more easily targeted in many occasions by those that wish to use them and exploit them in that way. Some of the perpetrators, the techniques we were hearing that they use to groom, for example, young women, leading them to believe that they're in a relationship with them, that they, you know, develop trust with them, and that's not the case. The intention was always to groom that young person to use them either for sexual exploitation or for exploitation in terms of either selling, carrying drugs, whatever it might be.
The latest water quality figures for Peel Beach are out, and it seems there may be some good news. It's long been a controversial issue as raw sewage is pumped into the sea in Peel. Our local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has been speaking to Peel Commissioner Madeleine Kelly and Town Clerk Derek Sewell.
We have, since the 1st of August, been sampling the water in Peel Bay to the 2006 Bathing Water Directive standards, and it's mostly been good. It's gone good, good, poor, good, 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 poor, which we think is fantastic. When we had a meeting with the MUA about bathing water standards back in July, the specialist about water safety explained that the health risks associated with bad bathing water are just maybe an ear, nose or throat infection. It's nothing very serious, and that the more major risk from swimming in the sea is of drowning. In my personal experience, my children have been playing on Peel Beach and swimming in the sea for years. They still do it now, and they've never got ill from doing it. It just seems to me to be fine.
So if the overall results since the start of this year's testing season have been more positive, why does Peel typically not meet bathing water standards?
We don't really understand why Peel always came up as poor and failing in the previous tests that they used to do, the government used to do. They do a four-year average, and because Peel had so frequently failed in the past, on average it would always fail, no matter how good it was. It had to be good many, many, many times for Peel to pass by the standards. We're just doing it as it is on that day. We're not doing an average, so maybe that's what it is.
And while there's good news for the results from Peel Beach, vanilla's even better, as Peel's town clerk Derek Sewell explains.
Our weekly testing has shown on the day that they were tested that they've scored good, except on two occasions in the last 6 weeks where it's actually scored excellent, which are very, very good results. And they're actually quite good because we can also compare them across the island with the other beaches, particularly the designated bathing beaches, and also gives us an opportunity to compare them with Peel Town Beach and see what the discrepancy is, bearing in mind from a location perspective they're very close to each other, but they are very much different in nature, in that on the where the sewage outlet is in comparison to the two beaches.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Ben McCree departed Heysham at 22 minutes past two. She's just entering the inner harbour in Douglas. We'll be on the link span in 10 minutes or so. Departing this evening at 7:45 for Heysham, arriving there at about 11:30. The overnight departure 2:15, back to Douglas tomorrow morning at 6. High-speed craft Mananan departed Douglas at 2:50. She's on the link span in Liverpool right now by the Liver building on the pierhead, departing this evening at 7:15, back to Douglas for 10 o'clock tonight. Tomorrow morning's departure, 8:45, Ben McCree heading for Heysham.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
The Department of Health and Social Care is hosting a feedback session this evening in relation to results collated from its National Autism Strategy Consultation. So it is tonight. It's going to be held at the Kildare at the Nobles Hospital site from 6:30. This report from Siobhan Fletcher.
The consultation was open earlier this year and closed on the 10th of June. Earlier this month, the results were published by the DHSC on its website. A common theme in the report is the inability to access support, with the largest number of comments concerning this. Not having a formal diagnosis of autism or Asperger's syndrome also makes it much harder to access any services or support. 46% of respondents stated that the experience of getting a referral had been very difficult or quite difficult. Meanwhile, having a diagnosis does not always guarantee support. Nearly half of those with a diagnosis stated they don't receive any support services. Local support group Autism in Man responded well to the consultation and welcomed its results, telling Manx Radio it was a positive move to let people and families living with autism have their say about how things are for them. Everyone and every family is unique with their own issues and experiences. We hope the responses have given the DHSC a better understanding of the needs of people with autism and will enable them to produce a national autism strategy and develop services that make the island an autism-friendly place to live. Autism is a complex way of being. The challenges can be huge. Support may be necessary at each and every stage of life and require many adjustments. The strategy needs to recognise this so that people and families can follow a clear autism pathway throughout life and into old age with the right support. Michelle Haywood is a political member for the department.
From the results of the consultation that was done, we know there are a number of gaps in how they experience provision and understanding across different government departments about how to assist people who've got autism in accessing government services and how to support them. So this session is really about allowing people to come in and to have their say on it. And I think it signifies a new way, I think, of working, of involving the clients of services and the parents of children with autism in saying, well, what's wrong in the system and what do we need to fix? What do we need to do to make life easier for you?
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
At 14 minutes before six, toys, consoles and clothing imports worth more than £100 million are at risk of disruption before Christmas from strikes at Felixstowe Port in Suffolk. According to an analysis of its traffic, clothing worth an estimated £72 million and toys and video game consoles with a combined value of £29.5 million are scheduled to be imported into Felixstowe between yesterday and October the 5th when workers strike. An analysis from the Russell Group found Felixstowe accounts for almost half of the UK's container movements and is responsible for much of its imported goods. For a full daily market report, go to ramseycrookall.com. The second-hand market's been a hot topic in the luxury sector, while brands like Hermès remain staunch in the view that it would come to the detriment of regular clients. Balenciaga, owned by the French multinational Kering, has become the latest fashion house to increase investment in resale. Along with tech and logistics platform Reflaunt, Balenciaga's offering a service that authenticates and prices pre-owned items, then lists them on global marketplaces. Sellers can be paid via bank transfer or a Balenciaga voucher enhanced by 20%. The word is resale is expected to grow 16 times faster than the retail clothing sector by 2026. Kering also owns a Bottega Veneta, Gucci, Alexander McQueen and Yves Saint Laurent, but the facility is not spread to any of the others.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks closed slightly higher. US stocks were sharply higher after clawing back losses. Oil rose following unexpected drawdowns in US crude and fuel stocks. And gold rose by more than a percent as a slight retreat in the dollar rekindled some of its safe haven appeal. The numbers now from Ramsey Crookall at the close in London. The FTSE 100 up 0.3% at 7,005. The DAX in Frankfurt up almost 0.4% at the close at 12,183. The Dow Jones Industrial in New York is up 1% at the moment. The trading day rolls on, of course. It's 29,444. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index just up over 1% at 10,944. And the S&P 500 up almost 1.2% at 3,689. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling currently trading at $1 US 8.3, €1 11.7 cents, and 19 South African rand 33.8 cents. In commodities, gold's up almost 2% at $1,659 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude up 3.75% at $88.90.
You've got an investment plan?
Yeah, Mike said. It up.
But don't you need loads of money to do that?
Not this one. It's called Shearwater from Ramsey Crookall, and you pay in monthly as little as £100. So it's like saving regularly, really helping us invest in the future. For a house, well, the kids' education.
£100 a month? I could easily do that.
You should. The sooner you start, the better.
Invest in your future with as little as £100 a month. Shearwater from Ramsay Crookall, the island's investment specialist for 75 years. Call 717171 or visit ramsaycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
This is the most listened to Isle of Man news source. And Manx Radio's update is the Isle of Man's most downloaded news podcast.
One of the Isle of Man's political parties has spoken out in favour of members of a teaching union who are currently taking part in industrial action. It's over a dispute with the Education Department over pay and working conditions. The story from Amy Griffiths.
Last week, members of the NASUWT union voted in favour of continuing an escalation of industrial action, which they've been taking part in since the 12th of September. It's seen members only carrying out their contracted teaching hours and not covering break times or covering staff absences. They've also voted in favour of escalating this action even further to striking if the union can't come to an agreement with the Department of Education, Sport and Culture. Now, the Manx Labour Party, which has two MHKs in Tynwald, has come out in support of union members. In a statement, it says that teachers have long avoided strike action out of a sense of duty towards their students, and that this has been used over the past decade to justify the erosion of wages and increased workloads. It says it supports a fair wage rise that recognises teachers' value, brings them real-term benefits against inflation, and is sufficient to address the recruitment and retention crisis on the island. The Education Minister Julie Edge says the department is doing everything it can to provide the best package for teachers and is extremely disappointed in the action being taken by NASUWT members. She says a further uplift has been recommended by the Independent School Teachers Review Body in the UK, which, if verified, could see all staff receive a pay increase between 5 and 9% from this month. Ms. Edge also argues that the NASUWT is the only union that hasn't accepted their offer, and that despite representing half the island's teachers, just over half of those members actually voted in the recent ballot, which equates to around a quarter of the island's teachers. The department and the NASUWT representatives are meeting this week to try and find a way forward.
Manx Radio Sport.
Fast am I, Rob Pritchard.
Fast am I. Good evening. Starting with rallying, and the Ramsey Town stage of this year's Chris Kelly Memorial Manx Stages has been cancelled. Organisers say the stage, which is due to take place this Friday, has had to be called off due to safety issues. Officials add there is an insufficient number of marshals available to safely manage the section. A minimum of 22 are required. Manx Autosport is thanking Ramsey Town commissioners and local businesses for supporting the concept. The rest of the event, running across Friday and Saturday, is currently due to take place as normal. Signing on sessions for volunteers are still taking place until 7:30pm tonight and between 4:30 and 7:30 tomorrow at the Halewood Centre at the TT Grandstand on Glencrutchery Road. Turning to darts, and some of the Isle of Man's best darts players are putting their skills to the test against other European nations at the WDF Europe Cup this week. Eight Manx players are taking part in the tournament in Valencia in Spain, which runs from today until Saturday. Kevin Lane, Robbie Nelson, Mark Venables and Rob Corrin will make up the men's squad, whilst Margaret Kelly, Janine Halsall, Nikki Bartley and Rachel Robertson will represent the women's team. There are 41 nations competing in the men's category, whilst 35 countries will battle it out in the women's class. The first set of floor matches today got underway at noon and run until 9pm tonight. And finally, in football, four more fixtures are scheduled tonight in the Jackson's Isle of Man Under-18s League. Currently, Onchan and Union Mills sit joint top of the table after playing two games so far, with both on 6 points. But they don't play this evening, as the four squads in action tonight have only played one game so far. Rushen United and Braddon face off this evening at the Bowl, with both knowing if they win, they head joint top of the table as well. Laxby and Colby Lockhorns in the other game tonight, with both hunting their first points of the new season.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Inbound tonight at Ronaldsway, the 20-8 EasyJet from Bristol showing on time. The 5-8 Loganair returning patient transfer plane showing on time. 8:05 Loganair from London City on time. And the 9:25 EasyJet from London Gatwick showing on time. Outbound, it's the 6:00 Loganair patient transfer plane to Liverpool. 8:10 EasyJet back to Bristol. at the 9:05 EasyJet back to London Gatwick. Still got those temporary lights on the main road at Ballasalla 24 hours a day for the resurfacing of the roundabout. It will be finished one day. Temporary lights in Port Erin on Bradder Road near the turn for Bradder Glen. Still Castle Street one-way northbound in Castletown. And in Peel, the prom's closed from the Manx Utilities pumping station to Weatherglass Corner. There are temporary closures in phases till the middle of April next year. Temporary lights between North Quay and Tesco roundabout in Douglas for gas main work. And Upper Church Street's closed between Athol Street and Hill Street for some work on a sewer. Temporary lights on the Strang Road Union Mills for drainage work. Temporary lights on the Glen Darrock Road in Glenvine just past Moran School for a new Pelican crossing. Temporary light on the main road to the west of Ballalees Bridge at St John's for patching work. And Onken's got some temporary lights on the main road between Avondale Road and Royal Avenue for street lights. And in Groudle, King Edward Road remains closed. They're craning out some rocks from Groudle Glen.
The island's new solely dedicated electric and hybrid vehicle service centre. Get more with
A-level criminology students at St Ninian's School have been investigating a murder today. Police officers, dogs and forensics were all there to make it feel authentic, and we went along to see what was going on.
At 9 a.m. we found a body which we treated immediately as suspicious. We closed off the scene in order to make sure nothing was contaminated.
My name's Zoe Sowery and I'm one of the criminology teachers at St Ninian's. As of last year, it's a brand new course to St Ninian's High School, and we're in our second year of a 2-year course. So the year 13s that we're with today are currently engaging in their second year. And yeah, it's been brilliant. Me and Miss Crisford, the other criminology teacher, we're really enjoying it.
My name is Luke Hennick. I'm one of the community officers based in Douglas and I work in the schools. Today was a little bit of a joint exercise. This idea was brought to light, I think, by Detective Chief Inspector Newey, and we're always going to have a bit of fun and make it happen. So it's about interaction with this older group of young people, because we go into school and talk to little kids, but these people need separate things, and it's showing how we work, what we do, and actually making it personal to them and what they need.
How true to life was what they experienced today?
Incredibly, in fairness, because my colleague and I arrived this morning, we put the car up as if we'd just found a body. They've had all the people that would be involved in a real investigation here talking to them today and answering questions and working with them, so it's exactly as it would be. I think they're a bit shell-shocked first thing this morning, but it was 9 o'clock when we hit them straight with a body in the field. And you know what? They've been fantastic. They've obviously sat, listened to what they've been taught through the curriculum and then built on what we've brought them today. The questions they're coming out with are fantastic. I mean, that's from all the experts that have come along, and they're indulging in it. They're enjoying it, hopefully, and maybe we'll build on this from years to come and do more.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, I'm in my second year now. It's interesting. Every lesson's different. We find out a bit more. It's definitely a different aspect towards your average social science lessons. But yeah, it's fun and every lesson's great.
And in terms of what you've been doing here today, how's that been?
Oh yeah, definitely different. Good experience. It's quite unique, I suppose.
That's it for Update Tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Rob Pritchard, producer Amy Griffiths. I'm Andy Wint. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Back tomorrow.
WINT